Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
How you doing, Connor? Welcome in. Thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate your time.
No problem, Anita. Yeah, no problem, Anita. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, let's pick up where we just had Manish on. He was listening to the show on the way in, and I was sharing the report, and it's not just one. I mean, The Athletic is reporting it. CBS is reporting it that Mike Maccagnan could be in some trouble at the Jets facility. Manish said that that is not the case. Connor, what are you hearing?
Yeah, look, there's nothing to it. There's nothing to the idea that Mike Maccagnan is going to be let go. Is there tension between him and Adam Gase? Look, I mean, they're both strong personality guys. I'm sure, and Mike Maccagnan alluded to this during his post-draft press conference last night, that, look, there are times when you have different opinions on players and you talk about it and then you figure out what is in the best direction of this team. But the idea that the Jets would let Mike Maccagnan go shortly after the draft is just not true. It's not accurate. It's not something that they are going to do. And when you think about this logically, it really makes no sense in any way, shape, or form, right? I mean, this is a Jets team that is trying so desperately to reinvent their culture. This is a Jets team that is trying so desperately to change the narrative and erase the same old Jets mantra. So why would they have their general manager, who they let pick their head coach, right? I mean, Mike Maccagnan is a massive reason why Adam Gase is this team's head coach. They let him pick the head coach. They let him spend over $100 million in salary cap space. They let him then run the entire draft, and then a week later they're going to let him go. Like, it just does not make any sense. And if that were to happen, I mean, you need to start questioning all the way to the top the competence of this organization and their ability to run this team successfully, if that was something that they were going to do. So from everything that I've heard within that organization is that it is not true. It is not something they are considering doing. It's not something that they are going to do. And Mike Maccagnan might end up losing his job after this season if the Jets have another poor year and this draft doesn't work out. But in terms of it happening immediately or it being written in stone, that's just not true.
Again, Connor Hughes joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. It will be interesting to see what happens because, again, there are reports out there, but Connor Hughes and Manish Mehta are reporting that this is not true. Before we start talking Giants, curious to get your thoughts on the Jets draft so far, and specifically Quinton Williams in the first round, 3 overall. I felt Williams was the best player in this draft. So I'm thrilled with the pick. I think Williams dropping to the Jets at 3 is a gift from the football gods.
You should be, and every Jet fan should be thrilled with him. I mean, this is kind of the, as crazy as it seems, this is like the 4th time in 5 years that you can say the quote-unquote best player in the draft has fallen to the Jets. You know, it was Leonard Williams in 2015, Jamal Adams in 2017, Sam Darnold last year, and then now it's Quinnen Williams. And the guy, for if you trust scouts, and obviously, you know, no one really knows with the draft, but the people believe that this guy is the next Aaron Donald. I mean, this is a dude with, I mean, there's no denying he has an infectious personality. He elevates the play of those around him. He is someone who can stop the run. He can get after the quarterback. He is if we were talking baseball, this is a 5-tool guy with a great personality and everything off the field as well. So he checks all the boxes, and the Jets are going to be thrilled to have him. Now, in my personal opinion, I probably would have gone somewhere else with that draft pick because I just kind of – the way that I view team making is that, yes, you take best player available, but you kind of also have to go through a position in need. So at defensive line, I wasn't totally sure if the Jets needed another defensive lineman. I thought they maybe would have been better off going with Josh Allen or maybe trading back and then getting Josh Allen. But the fact that they came out of here with Quinnen Williams, you can't complain about it. Can you say you'd rather have someone else? Sure, but you can't be upset that this team came away with arguably the best player in the draft.
Connor, break down the other two players that they've drafted so far in this draft.
Yeah, Polite. I mean, this is a guy that there's no denying that Polite has some ability from a pass rushing perspective, right? I mean, he showed that at Florida, 11 sacks. I think it was 4 or 5 forced fumbles. It's been a long 2 days, so that number might be 1 or 2 off. But I know he had, like, I believe it was 4 forced fumbles last year. I mean, he's a dude who is perfectly suited as a 34 outside linebacker. He can get to the quarterback. He can be disruptive. Maybe not the biggest person. I mean, he probably plays around 240, so he's not going to be, you know, that run stuffer or edge setter. But, you know, what he brings in the pass rush definitely makes up for that. the concerns with him is really off the field, right? Because when you talk about the combine, he showed up out of what many people believed without a shape. He then tested very poorly in terms of measurements. He then interviewed even worse. He had that. Then when he went and talked to media, the media was when he talked about teams bashing him and the 49ers and Packers, and that really turned a lot of people off. I mean, there you go through and read scouting reports on this guy, and it's hard to find one that does not reference his off-the-field behavior and his personality. So that's a big red flag. And Mike Maccagnan kind of referenced a little bit of that when we talked to him after the selection, but he said, look, we have somebody on staff that was on Florida staff with him. They signed off on it. We have Marcus May, who played with him. He signed off on it. And we believe that we have a culture that is going to help this guy be the best person that he can be. So they were aware of these potential red flags. But again, I mean, when you're talking about a guy in the third round, you're going to have to take some of those risks. This wasn't a top 10 pick, right? They didn't take this guy in the top 10. So they went and they took him a little bit later on. So I think that it's a big risk, but it's a potentially big reward. And then when the Jets, you know, kind of later on in the third round was when they grabbed their offensive tackle out of USC. Sam Darnold's actually old offensive lineman. He blocked for him for 2 years towards the tail end of Sam Darnold getting in there in 2016. And then when Darnold was obviously the starter throughout the 2017 season. He's a guy that's going to be a little bit more of kind of along the lines of a developmental player. But Maccagnan loves his versatility, believes he can play left tackle, right tackle, or also move in there at guard. He's somebody that, again, high upside player, needs work, not the player. The player he is tomorrow is not the player that he is today. So he's going to need some work and time to develop. But, you know, actually one of the players that people have actually compared him to quite a bit is Kelvin Beachum. And that's a guy that obviously the Jets are pretty high on and know a decent amount about. So it was good, honestly, to see the Jets kind of address the offensive line, because he was just the third lineman that they have picked in the draft since Maccagnan took over in 2015.
And as we know, they need some more protection for Sam Darnold, and also some more talent at skilled position players. So today, 4 through 7, is that what we can anticipate? Maybe a wide receiver, some wide receivers. What do you think the Jets are going to be targeting today?
I think they could look at it. I mean, if the right receiver falls, I think that, yeah, the Jets could absolutely target him. But honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Jets kind of dive back in. I mean, they hold a pretty early pick in the fourth round. I could see them trading back to get extra draft capital. That's something we've seen Maccagnan do quite a bit on the third day of the draft. I could see them moving Darren Lee for another late round pick, which is someone that has kind of fallen out of favor with this coaching staff and is someone the Jets are looking to move. But honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Jets target kind of cornerback. I think that that's something that they desperately need, and there are still some pretty good players there available in the fourth round. Offensive line, look, I mean, you can never have too many offensive linemen to kind of get that well start filling up. So when one guy goes, you have someone else that you can plug in. So I could see them targeting that. And then, yeah, like you said, playmakers. You know, you can never have too many playmakers on a football team.
Again, Connor Hughes joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Connor, before we let you go, thoughts on the Giants taking Daniel Jones at 6?
Stunner. I mean, really, I think what was so stunning was that he didn't have to be picked there, right? I mean, there were other teams that liked him. This guy, it wasn't like the Giants took somebody who was supposed to go in the third round at number 6. I mean, this guy was a first-round pick. There were a lot of teams that really, really liked him. But I'm kind of surprised that he was picked that high, because, you know, I don't think he was going to be there at 17. But if the Giants were willing to trade all that to get back in and get the corner, wouldn't they have been willing to move from kind of like 17 to maybe 12 or 10 and then get him, and you could get Josh Allen at 6, there's your pass rusher, and then grab the quarterback at maybe 9, 10, or 11. So, I mean, look, at the end of the day, I know that the move's getting ripped, and I know the move is getting destroyed, because right now in the immediacy of what we've been reading about Daniel Jones and what we've seen about Daniel Jones and what all the scouts are saying and the analysts, it says it was a reach, reach, reach. The fact is, if this guy turns out to be a franchise quarterback, people are going to be saying that you know, he should have been going number one to the Cardinals, right? Because no one's actually seen this guy on the field. There's a lot of concerns. There are a lot of question marks. It certainly was a risky pick. But if Gettleman is right and this guy is a franchise quarterback, well, the Giants are now set at the most important position in sports for the next 10 to 15 years. And no one's going to care where the Giants took him. In fact, they're going to be blaming the five teams that picked before the Giants for not taking him. So, you know, there's risk, there's reward. But, you know, if this goes the Giants' way, Gettleman's going to look like a genius. And, you know, it's a double-edged sword, though, because if it doesn't, odds are he's going to be let go.
Really unbelievable. Connor, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really do appreciate your time. Enjoy the Saturday 4 through 7. Are you heading to the Giants, Jets? Where are you going to be?
Yeah, I'm at the Jets facility today. Yes, okay. So I'm at the Jets.
Fantastic. Yep. Well, enjoy your afternoon, my friend.
I will do it as much as you can when watching the final three rounds of the draft. I appreciate it. Thanks for having
you
me
got
on.
It, Connor Hughes. Make sure you follow him on Twitter.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.